We are in Proverbs on Wednesday night, and we're just going section by section. Last week, Proverbs chapter 6, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. Very encouraging passage of Scripture, very uplifting, midweek, you know, pick you up kind of thing. Well, I'm in chapter 7 tonight, and I'm going to read the chapter, and it is what it is. And it's really targeted to a young man. But I'll tell you up front that the principle in the chapter applies to anybody, anything. All right. So I want you to get that. It's not just to young men. I'm sure as I get into this, I'm going to direct my remarks mostly to young men and young ladies. That's what it's about. But it's not just that. But it is what it is. All right. It just is. And really, I thought, well, we were already here on chapter 5. Chapter 6 deals with it. I'll skip chapter 7. But when I got to studying the chapter, I said, no, it's too good to skip. Got to do it. Proverbs chapter 7. Look at it if you would. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Boy, verse 4 is so interesting. I'm going to come back to it. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her word. I'll not read all the chapter right now, but I will come back and I'll read the rest of the chapter as we get into it. So the subject is given in verse number 5. It's this strange woman. And we already know from chapter 5 that Solomon has already addressed this issue, and really the last part of chapter 6 as well. We didn't cover those verses, but the last part of chapter 6 deals with it as well. But evidently, he needs to hear it again. Evidently, dad, father to son, just thinks that we need to talk about this again. And it's interesting because I don't know if there is any subject of life that we only need to hear one time. We are usually, young people, usually so thick-headed that it takes several talks to get something in our mind. So twice he has given a lengthy talk with his son about the strange woman and purity and sexual temptation, but it feels like that the young man needs another warning. So all of chapter 7 is a sermon on seduction. And I thought that I would just say this to our young people just starting out. We got a lot of young people tonight, that if you have a father or a mother that is in your ear about purity and friends and influences and right living, you should never resent that. Because what the devil wants to do is the devil wants to create tension between you and your parents, especially if he doesn't like the way that they're raising you. He wants you to have your own ideas. He wants you to think that you know more than your old man. He wants you to feel independent more than you are ready. But the best weapon that you have against Satan is a parent's wise counsel. And that's why the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is set in the frame of a father instructing his son. There is wisdom in the words of the father. And the son demonstrates his own wisdom by how much he's willing to listen to dad. Now the subject is seduction, particularly seductive women, the strange woman. But in truth, seduction can come in a lot of forms. There are people who have been seduced by a false religion or a new style of worship. Revelation 2 and verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Jesus talking about false religion, and he calls her Jezebel, and she seduced men away from the truth. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So seduction comes in a lot of different forms. There's a lot of different avenues of seduction. Materialism, covetousness, that is seductive. There is just something about the dollar that makes men throw away their morals and their scruples and their integrity. Success, power, that is seductive to some people. Some men are addicted to climbing another rung on the ladder of success. And if I can get to the next level, I'll finally be satisfied. So here's what you have to do. You have to ask, what seduces you? Because every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So I want to make it clear that you may say, man, I'm past the seductive woman, or I'm a woman myself, and so this don't apply to me. But it does apply to you. It does. It applies to everybody. For the young men, it's particular, but there's something that seduces every man. Now notice what he says in verse number 4. I love this. He said, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. So in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is portrayed as a woman. And no man said amen. Because to be honest with you, it's a little bit offsetting. I mean, really? But you know, a woman has an intuitiveness about her that a man doesn't have. A woman will pick up on nonverbal clues. She has intuition. No, it's not absolute, all right? It's not absolute, all right? But, and she does have a weakness that she can be easily deceived, just like Eve was. But you should learn to trust your wife's instincts. Solomon says that wisdom is your sister. It is a kinswoman. So wisdom is a female relative. You know what it says? And in this case particularly, he's going to talk about the seductive woman, and who better to teach him the ways of a seductive woman than another woman? Yeah. Because guys, and I'll just go ahead and talk to the guys, you don't think like a woman thinks. A young man does not approach romance the same way that a young lady does. So if you want some help, you'll have to find another woman to help you. Father can give advice, and he should. But if your mother says, I don't think that's a good girl, you better take that to the bank. The way that a strange woman can seduce a young man is because she knows more about how he thinks than he knows about how he thinks. I'm doing good. I haven't even got started. A strange woman armed with the knowledge of what makes a guy tick has a tactical advantage over him. And one of the ways for that clueless dude to counter that advantage is to get a good woman on his side telling him what is.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. So Solomon didn't say to your best friend, thou art wisdom. Because chances are, he isn't.
Right.
Solomon didn't say to your buddy down at the job, all right, wisdom, because chances are he's probably not.
Right.
When my boys were growing up, one of them still is, but when my boys were growing up, my wife had has mama ever sat down with you and talked to you about a strange woman?
Once or twice.
My wife, and usually when you're ready to go to bed, come in here, sit down and talk, huh? And dad's already in bed. Yep. And we're going to sit down. We're going to talk a little while. And if she's had 100 conversations with them about the strange woman, They will tell you that they know everything there is to possibly know about a strange woman because my wife would keep them up till the late hours of the night and she would talk to them. Can I say this, you're friends with a girl? Can I say? So Parker is talking to a girl right now, friends with a girl right now, and we have the FBI checking her out right now. My wife will investigate this. She will know her shoe size before it is over. Yeah. You see, no one can see through a woman's disguises like another woman. When it comes to physical seduction, men are blinded by their biology. Their masculinity can be a handicap. A beautiful girl smiles at a boy and shows him a little bit of attention, and it's not even a fair fight. It's not. But another woman can see that girl. She is not fooled by that. I know what you are trying to do. And guys, I'm dropping some truth on your head tonight. If you go into it thinking that you know what she's thinking, you have already lost. The only person that knows what a woman is thinking is another woman. So if your wife says, "I don't trust that woman," oh, honey, she don't mean anything by texting like that. She's just being friendly. You a fool. If your mama says, "I don't like that girl, I just don't think she's a good girl," you need to understand she knows a lot more about it than you do. So I just thought that was interesting. Now look at verse number 7. He said, "I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding." Now what Solomon is going to do, he's going to sit his son down and he's going to tell him a story about another young man that was ruined by a strange woman. This could be somebody that Rehoboam knew. This could be somebody that was just hypothetical that he made it up. But here's the one outstanding feature of this young man. Did you get it? Here it is. He is void of understanding. We know nothing else about it. I don't know his strengths. I don't know his weaknesses. I don't know if he's respectful. I don't know if he's disrespectful. I don't know if he's a hard worker. I don't know if he was lazy. We're not told. And here's the reason why. You're not told his weaknesses because his greatest weakness is that he had no understanding. You're not told his strengths because without understanding, his strengths really are not a strength. He may have good grades at school, but he is void of understanding. He may have been nice to old people, but he's void of understanding. He may be a hard worker, but he is void of understanding, and nothing else matters. There is a lot of things that you can get along in life without, but if you don't have understanding, you can't do without that. That's why he said in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5. He said, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, and neither decline from the words of my mouth." He says in verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." You should be kind, but kindness is not going to save you in the hour of temptation. You ought to be a hard worker, but a hard worker is not going to save you in the hour of temptation. So it is the only thing that's mentioned about the young man. Don't know about how he was raised, what kind of home, where he went to school. None of that matters. The only thing is that he didn't have understanding. Could have been a good kid, but he didn't have understanding. Probably made good grades, but he didn't have understanding. Loved to volunteer, but he didn't have understanding. And he didn't understand how dangerous this woman is. He didn't understand the trap that he's walking into. He didn't understand that if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. Void of understanding. Now, in verse number 5, Solomon's going to tell this story about this young man that gets ruined by the strange woman. And there are 3 mistakes that he makes that I want you to see, and then we'll be done with this. But I want you to notice, first of all, that he's in the wrong place. Look at verse number 5. that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Watch this. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. The first mistake this young man made is he went where he had no business going. He is passing through, but he has no business being in that part of town. He is out at night. It is black. He's wandering through a street. He's passing by her house. He knows who lives there. He's not lost. He didn't come here by accident. He doesn't have a good reason to be there. He's not walking to work. He's not out getting groceries for his mama. He hasn't been sent on an errand. So why are you there? What are you doing in that part of town? In fact, why are you out by yourself so late at night? Why is that? Suppose I left my house tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning. And told my wife, I'm just going to drive it. I'm just going to drive around. Well, drive where? Put Find a Friend on. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Why is your car parked in that driveway? Suppose that I decide tonight, about midnight, I'm going to go out and just jolly ride around and just see where the car takes me. And I find myself West Pensacola, downtown Pensacola, where it is known a hangout for prostitutes and drug dealers.
Right.
I mean, I'm not looking for a prostitute. I'm not buying drugs or anything. I'm just driving around. That's all. Just You know, if a police officer pulls me over for something suspicious or whatever, he's going to ask me for my driver's license. He's going to see I'm from Pace. He's going to ask me, what you doing over here? Why are you over here? That's not a crime, but it sure is suspicious. If you don't have a good reason, he is going to rightly suspect that you are up to no good. Why else would you be over there at night? Hold your finger right here. Job chapter 24, I think, is the passage. Job chapter 24, it just go right along with it. Job chapter 24 and verse number 15. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. There is something wrong with people that always love dark. In fact, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You show me a group of kids that's out running around at night, late, 11, 12 o'clock, ain't got nothing to do. I'm going to show you somebody's getting ready to get in trouble. Ain't nothing good going on at midnight out in town. Amen. In fact, I don't even like dark restaurants. I don't. There's some restaurants you go to, I can't read the menu. Got to turn my flashlight on my phone to see what. And here's what's going through my mind. Why don't you want me to see the food I'm eating? That's what I'm thinking. Huh? Amen. Dark bars and seedy. Why don't you turn the light on? Just turn the light on where everybody can see everybody else and we all fellowship here. Huh? There's a reason why. By the way, I don't like dark churches. I don't. But why are y'all turning the lights down and putting neon lights on and all this kind of stuff? What are you trying to do? Look like a bar? Huh? I like the lights on. I like it bright. In fact, this one's not bright enough. I think we're working on getting better LED lights to brighten the place up. I just like the light. This boy is over on this street. He's walking by that house, and he waited until dark so nobody sees him because he knows who lives in that house. And here's what he's done. He's allowed his curiosity to drive him there. He's just curious as to what she looks like. Curious as to what she's wearing today. I'm just curious what she would say. I'm just curious how we can play this little game. And in passing through, it tells us he didn't have a plan. I'm just going to wander by. I'm just wandering by just to see how it plays out. Well, one of the most dangerous things for a young person is a lack of purpose. You need to know where you are going. If you don't have a purpose in mind, you are going to be drawn away. So get up every day with a purpose in mind. You can't just wander around town. You can't just go for a jolly ride to see where the car is going to take you. It ain't going to take you to a good place. You will either be driven by your purpose or you will be driven by your passion. But your passions are going to lead you astray. You can't resist temptation without purpose. You're not going to resist temptation if passion is driving you. Passion without purpose leads to excess. It leads to extremes. It leads to heresy. It leads to compromise. You can't roam the internet without purpose. You better have, you can't just pass through. He's in the wrong place. But then I want you to notice that he is with the wrong person. And over in the book of Proverbs, it warns about the influence of bad associates, whether it's the friends or whether it's the business associate, whether it's a strange woman. You must guard who you allow into your life. So I want you to watch how this woman seduced this young man. I want you to watch this. And the first way that she did it, you're going to love this, all right, is her wardrobe. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Now, don't get upset. I didn't write it. I just read it. Okay? But the first thing that it's going to tell you about this strange woman is what she's wearing. Yeah. Here's the reason why. Because a woman knows how to dress to make a statement. A man just throws on the clothes walking out the door. A man doesn't stand in front of the mirror and twist and turn and does this shirt make me look fat and does it match my shoes and did I wear this last week? No, he picks it up off the floor from last night, puts it on, heading out the door. But a woman, she tries the outfit on knowing that ain't going to be the outfit we're wearing today, but we're going to twist and we're going to turn and she's going to try on four outfits because she is making a statement with her clothes. It might not be a bad statement, but it says more about her than clothes say about the man. In our society, clothes say a lot about a person. And it's not always a bad thing. And I think that sometimes what it says is, I didn't think about what I was wearing before I left the house. That's the statement I read. I mean when I go to Walmart, which is not often, but when I go to Walmart, I want to walk up and say, are you aware that you're still wearing your pajamas? Did you forget to get dressed before you left the house? Didn't your mama ever tell you that 300-pound women should not wear stretch yoga pants? That's what I feel like saying. Because clothes are revealing without being revealing. It says something about you. It does. Yeah, last night we had an emergency at our house. My wife's coffee maker went out. And so we had to go to Walmart. And have y'all priced coffee makers lately? Oh my soul. We got one that makes coffee, espresso, hot chocolate, froth the milk. It'll wake you up. I mean, nevertheless, so we had to go to Target to get you know the thing that we got, and when we were walking into Target, there was a woman outside with her buggy, and she had two daughters right there, and her two daughters were wearing a dress or skirt that was below their knees. Right. I didn't go ask them, but I guarantee they're Christians of some sort. It may be Pentecostal. I don't know what they are. Doubt the Baptists, but because Baptists don't dress like that. Yeah. But
amen.
Y'all need to help me. I'm feeling good tonight. All right, that's not good. It makes a statement, is what it does. Amen. Amen. And having said that, our culture revels in vulgar and revealing clothing.
Right.
Yeah. And it should not be a constant fight in the church. But constantly fighting the hemline and the short skirt and the basketball shorts on the girls, because at the school they have one standard, but that ain't the standard here. Amen. Out in public wearing leggings and yoga pants and tight clothing, wanting to reveal the shape of your body, ain't no God in all of that. But can I help you tonight? Clothing doesn't reveal just your body. Clothing reveals your heart. What you put on your body reveals what is in your heart. You can tell the police officer by his uniform. You can tell the military by his uniform. You can tell the construction worker by his uniform. You can tell whether he's a white collar worker or a blue collar worker. You can tell a Christian by his uniform. Proverbs chapter 7, the strange woman is not a harlot. She's not. She just is going to put on the attire of an harlot. That's what she wants him to see. That's what she wants him to think. If I dress loose, he will think that I am loose. If I dress like a floozy, it's because I want him to think that I am a floozy.
Amen.
By the way, one of the features, one of the dress features of a prostitute in Bible days was that they wore a veil. Do you remember Tamar seducing her father-in-law in Judah? And the Bible says that she dressed like a harlot. And here's how she did it. She covered her face with a veil. And he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. He thought she was because of what she was wearing. You see, there are some guys that are looking. I got to move on. I know. It's raining. I got to go home. I'm helping you tonight. There are some guys that are looking for a loose girl, and they scan the landscape, and they see a girl over there that's very modest and very discreet, and she doesn't give out mixed signals. They don't even try because they know that she wouldn't even give him the time of day. No, the girl that you're looking for is a little bit suggestive, pushes the envelope just a little bit. You're looking for the girl that takes her blue jeans out, puts them on when she's away from daddy, and then changes. I'm preaching right now, ain't I? Her wardrobe. You see, the young man sees the young lady and notices what she is wearing. When a young man is interested in a young lady and they're in any kind of dating relationship, every new outfit is a surprise. When you're in love and you're dating, part of the suspense when I see her is, what was she wearing? Because she makes clothes look good. She could wear a burlap sack, but it sure does look good. And the danger in romance is that you see only that. But Solomon by now has enough experience to see beyond the wardrobe and to see the heart, which is why he said, let me find my verse. He says, "There met him a woman with the attire of a harlot," verse 10, "the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." How did he know what was in her heart? Because of what she was wearing. To the young man, the clothes revealed the body. To the older man, the clothes revealed the heart. He identified her based on what she's wearing. So you have her wardrobe, and then, her ways. Look at verse number 11. She is loud and stubborn. Oh, that ain't the best part. Her feet abide not in her house. She is loud, she is stubborn, she ain't never home.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Solomon is going to tell you what she's really like. And he's going to describe exactly how she seduces this young man. She saw him passing by. She put on the attire of a harlot. She's gone out to meet him. And you're going to learn so much about this strange woman in the next 8 to 10 verses. You're going to learn more about the strange woman than all of the writings of the world. But here's the first thing he says about her. She ain't never home. She's always running the roads. Well, yeah, I thought you'd enjoy that. A woman knows what a man thinks. She knows how to excite his passions. She knows what a man can't ignore. She knows how to get what she wants out of that man. I'm going to show you what this woman knows. Are you ready for this? She knew that men respond to being touched. Look at verse 13. So she caught him. Before she ever said a word to him, she touched him. She knew that men are more physical than emotional. That a touch can be electrifying to a man. Just brushing up against him. Innocent hand on the knee. When she laid her hands on him, she has his full attention. That's why I am the old dinosaur that says that before marriage you should not touch. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. I think you're foolish to allow it. She knew men respond to being touched. And then she knew that men are captivated by a kiss. So she caught him and kissed him. It's not romance. I'm just telling you something. And what it does is it breaks down his self-control and it takes reason out of his mind. Here's an interesting thing. Now this is just funny to me. If a beautiful girl walked up to a boy on the street and kissed him, he'd be fine with it. Now, if he did it to her, sexual harassment.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Right?
Yeah. Right.
It means something different.
Right. Yeah.
So she knew. She knew that he's captivated by a kiss. She knew that men become excited by bold advances. She caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said on him. Impudent is to be bold, is to be pretentious, brazen. No shame, no modesty, no holding back. I'm putting the signals out there. The way that she looks at him when she kisses him, signals to him, there could be more. There could be more. She knew that men are more comfortable with reputable women than sketchy women. Verse 14. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Peace offerings was just one of the offerings that the Old Testament Israelite kept. Usually it was for thanksgiving or for making a vow. But it seems strange to me that she brings it up now. But basically she says, I've been at church.
Yeah.
I am a church-going girl. I have religion too. We go to church too.
Right.
Because a good boy would be more comfortable with a church-going woman than a streetwalker. She knew men long for the attention of women. Look at verse number 15. Is this okay?
Yeah.
I'm not being too forward, am I?
No.
Yeah. All right, verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I've been looking for you all of my life.
Yeah.
You're just the kind of guy I was looking for. Because a man thrives on respect and admiration, and for her to say, I'm so glad that I found you. You're the man that I've been looking for all of my life. She knows that's going to break him down. By the way, this is how affairs started. A woman on the job makes you feel like a woman or feels like a man. And the woman at the house makes you feel like a dog. And you wonder how can a man have a beautiful wife at home and then run off with a nag at work. It's because the nag talked to him. She knew the greatest temptation for men is sexual. verse 16. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. She begins to describe her bedroom to him, and his mind begins to be filled with these fantasies and these thoughts. She is talking to him about a subject that she should not be talking about, and she is inviting him to a place that he better not go. In a normal boy-girl relationship where both are the same spiritual and moral level, the boy will always want to go farther than the girl. The girl really has to wait on the boy. The boy's just waiting for her to give the right signal.
Yes, sir.
And then I say that she knew that men are looking for a thrill, not a threat.
Right. Yeah.
Like what she says in verse 19, for the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the time appointed. The thrill of a romantic rendezvous with a strange woman, but not if you got to fight another man for it. She eases his mind by breaking down all of the excuses and all of the barriers. My husband's been gone. He won't be here for days. He'll never find out. And with her knowledge becomes power. And if he puts himself in her path and she works her magic, the young man becomes paralyzed by her charm. That's why it says in verse number 26, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Do you see that?
Yes, yeah.
Wrong place. Wrong person. And I got to hurry. I got to hurry. Give me just a couple of minutes. Wrong practices. So look at verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till the dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. It's interesting to me in Proverbs chapter 7, and I'll be done with this, that Solomon describes the strange woman and he gives warning, but he does not blame the strange warning woman. He describes her, but in the chapter he says nothing to her. None of the instruction is to her. All of the instruction is to him. And he says in the end, he says in verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. He doesn't tell her to go home. He tells him, don't go down that street. He doesn't tell her, don't go out into the street and don't try to seduce. No, he tells the young man, get off of that street. Don't go by that house. Now here's the reason why, and this is just what you take home with you. That even though the chapter is taken up with the description of the strange woman, I really believe that the focus is more on him than it is on her. The problem is not that there is a strange woman somewhere on some street looking to seduce a man. That's not the problem. The problem is there is a young man that's void of understanding. The deception in his own heart was so strong that he could handle this. I can resist temptation. I'm stronger than the strange woman. His heart was more deceptive to him than she was. Before she tricked him into coming into her bedroom, he tricked himself believing he could walk down that street.
Right.
I have to believe he didn't go there intending to commit adultery. I have to think he's curious. We're going to have a little innocent fun. We're just going to flirt a little bit, just see where this goes. But his mistake was not that he was ignorant about women. His mistake was that he was ignorant about himself. The fatal mistake is not that he trusted her too much. The fatal mistake was that he trusted his own heart too much. The lesson in Proverbs chapter 7 is not that you need to be strong in order to resist a strange woman. The lesson in Proverbs chapter 7 is you need to be aware that you are too weak and you need to run. Now again, seduction is the subject, and seduction comes in a lot of different ways. Money, power, popularity, opposite sex, whatever it might be. And understanding the threats around us is part of the solution. But knowing the threat inside of us, what are you vulnerable to? What are you most susceptible to? What are you too weak to resist? What are you too weak to deny? You can fight or you can run. The young man's troubles did not begin when he walked into that bedroom. The young man's troubles began when he walked down that street. Chapter 7 says, don't be fooled by the strange woman. But it also says, don't be fooled by your own heart. Right.